Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. This Week in America online, thisweekinamerica.us. They're considered American football royalty. Many feel they actually transcend the sport itself. The Mannings, Archie, Peyton, and Eli. And now a book that sheds new light on a family everyone knows, but truly few understand. In the Name of the Father, Family Football and the Manning Dynasty, the story of a family bigger than football, from acclaimed biographer Mark Grabowski. So many memorable books, considered one of the great biographers of our time in sports and entertainment, including Ain't Too Proud to Beg, The Troubled Lives, and Enduring Soul of the Temptations. Recently, Dreams to Remember, Otis Redding, Stax Records, and the Transformation of Southern Soul. Also about biographies on Stevie Wonder, The Supremes, Phil Spector. Classic books on Satchel Paige, Howard Cosell, and Tom Landry. And now, exploring the ongoing saga of the Manning Dynasty, In the Name of the Father, Family Football, and the Manning Dynasty, Mark Grabowski joining us on This Week in America. Mark, welcome to the program. It's great to have you with us.
Thank you. What an introduction. I'll never live up to it.
I have all those books I want to read now. That now on my summer reading list. It's like this is fantastic. This is such.
Did I do all that? Wow.
You did all that. You should be proud of yourself. You did all of that and still working. And this book is such
you.
A great book. In the Name of the Father. And it's interesting. We know a little bit about Cooper, but very likely there could have been four Mannings we'd be talking about as being NFL stars.
Oh yeah, Cooper was supposedly the most talented. Athletic-wise, with the three sons. He was the first to have a chance, you know, to follow Archie. And he was, in high school, he was like the all-state. He wasn't a quarterback, though. He was a receiver. He's one of those long, lean types.
Yes.
So he gravitated to catching balls rather than throwing them. He caught them from Peyton, you know, as a teenager. He caught them from Peyton on the Newman High School team in New Orleans. They were like all the rage in the state, Peyton throwing, Cooper catching. And Cooper was the first one to go to college, obviously, of the three sons. And he chose Ole Miss, Archie's old haunt, and, you know, where he became known as the best college football player in the South and made his reputation there. But he never got to play Cooper because he was diagnosed with spinal stenosis. We know the whole story. It's a very sad story. And it actually affected Peyton because it changed his plans. He was going to go to Ole Miss to continue that connection with Cooper. And when Cooper couldn't play anymore, he went to Tennessee, which crushed Archie, you know, but it was something Peyton had to do. But then Eli came along and closed the circle by going to Ole Miss and breaking all of Archie's old records. So it all sort of evened out at the end.
It's a fascinating book, In the Name of the Father, biographer Mark Grabowski, our guest on the program. It's been labeled as the story of America's most sacred and carefully constructed football dynasty. How did this construction begin? Was there a point when Archie is like, you know, we're onto something here with the football players we have in the family, or did this just evolve over years?
Yeah, well, Archie guided over his sons like a hawk. You know, he wasn't officially their agent, but he got them their agents. You know, the agents had to impress Archie as much as, you know, they impressed Peyton and
yes,
Eli.
Yes,
Archie really was the guiding force. Very smart man, very canny business guy. And, you know, he wanted his sons to do that, but he never forced them to. He never said, you must try to be football players before you do anything else. It just happened that way because he handed down the DNA of greatness, the athletic greatness to all three of his sons. But he was there every step of the way, and I refer to the family as a brand in the book, Manning Inc., because that's basically what it was. That was a product of good timing, because when Peyton came along, it had changed so much. The actual athletes had so much more power than they did in Archie's day that they were able to get these corporations together around them, and that's what Peyton did. And he's still riding that Manning Inc. I think his jersey is still the third most biggest selling in the NFL 3 years after his retirement. We know all the commercials that he does. I'm just waiting for the new batch to come around when the season starts. So that brand is still very strong.
Yeah, and you talk in the book about how Peyton was able to take this football prowess that he had, the cachet, and team it with capitalism, and he sort of took that Manning brand to a whole new level, didn't he? All of a sudden, you know, the Manning name is part of pop culture.
Yeah, Peyton really foresaw that, because during the research, I saw that even when he was at Tennessee, you know, he was thinking as a pro. He could have gone to the pros early. He decided to go back to Tennessee for a final year to try to win a championship, which he didn't do. Neither did Archie, and neither did Eli. You know, it's part of the disappointments that
yes.
they all face. There's a lot of crushing defeat that preceded the winning with the family. But even back then, Peyton knew that he was going to be a brand. And when he signed as a rookie, the number one pick in the draft, and he came to the Colts, he was already, you know, he already had a corporation. He already had all the ducks in a row. The commercials, you know, all the interviews lined up, and it was like he was like a 10-year pro already before he ever threw his first pass. So he knew exactly what he was doing.
You say in the book, a sports writer referred to that situation, says the man sells everything from crappy pizza to outlaw country and comes off the screen not having cheapened himself. How does he pull that off? Because I'm thinking back and it's like, yeah, is it the personality? Is that what draws us in?
Yeah. Actually, he doesn't sell the pizza anymore. A couple months ago, he got rid of the chain of the 12 Papa John's that he had in Colorado, which is probably good considering that now Papa John isn't even part of Papa John's.
Exactly.
So, there you go. It's another, you know, he foresaw a business turn there, and he acted accordingly. But yeah, he just has a way about him. I interviewed him back in 1999 after his rookie season, and you know, when I was like 12 years old, obviously.
Yes.
He struck me even then as a guy who knew exactly what he wanted and what he was going to do. And you know, he took courses in college in communication just so he could become a spokesman. He could become a pitchman, a face on the TV that people would like to see and, you know, would like to interview. So he really did that. Because he was never that way as a teenager. He was very brusque and very obnoxious, which helped him on the field because he was very aggressive in the way he played on the field. You know, he hated losing, and he would brag people older than he who made mistakes. But when he went to college, he sort of refined his image and refined his personality. And he still, I mean, there's something about the guy. There's something that Eli doesn't have, because Eli doesn't care about that kind of thing, but Peyton does. I mean, Peyton could be an actor. He could be an announcer. He could be anything he wants to be, because he's got that personality thing down. And believe me, he's ridden that through some hard times, through some tough times, through some scandals. You know, like with the trainer at Tennessee, the female trainer.
Well, yeah, let's talk about that, because
took him to court.
Yeah, you've got
so
that.
So he's been able to ride that out. And he courted the press too. Let's not forget that. He made it his business to court the media, and there were very few Peyton Manning haters in the media.
It's interesting. You mentioned the situation at the University of Tennessee, the Al Jazeera article that came out talking about substance.
Too.
Yeah,
right.
But they never seemed to go anywhere. Is that because there
didn't
wasn't
go
a,
anywhere?
Yeah,
didn't make a dent in his popularity. I mean, because of the age we're living in, and on the internet, there are a lot of people who take pot shots at him and criticize him for that, and you know. But to the public at large, he's still a tremendous icon. People really like him. And he made his business to be able to do that, to know how to do that, to withstand, you know, missteps. And God knows he made missteps in that Jamie Norwright thing, the trainer at Tennessee, because
yes.
he's gotten himself into trouble like three times over that issue. And there's a lot of, as I deduced it, there's a good bit of sexism involved in that. He was saying things about her that he never would have said about a male trainer. And, you know, he's been able to overcome that, too. You know, there are people who have sued him, you know, for over that Tennessee thing, and they got nowhere in the court. He seems to be bulletproof. And he knows it.
Well, yeah. And that saved him a couple of times in major scandals that could have erupted and didn't. We're talking about the new book, In the Name of the Father, Family Football and the Manning Dynasty, acclaimed biographer, bestselling author Mark Hrabowski, our guest on the program. Let's talk a little bit. We touched on Eli. Eli just doesn't have the same personality, yet many football people will say this guy's better in the clutch than Peyton was.
I guess you could make that case. I mean, you could make it at least after he won a second ring, because he did something. You know, he beat Tom Brady twice in the Super Bowl, and nobody else could say that. But Peyton lost to Brady 14 out of 21 times, and the first seven times he faced him. But he did win the last match they had in the playoffs before that final Super Bowl that Peyton won, even though he had very little to do with winning that game. He did beat Brady in the AFC title game, so he came full circle. But Eli is just so different. I mean, Eli was the black sheep of the family. He's 5 years younger than Peyton. He was never involved in Peyton or Cooper's activities or circle of friends. He was very insulated. In fact, Archie and his wife Olivia thought that Eli might have a lot of learning disabilities and maybe ADHD, and took him to psychiatrists, you know, before he bloomed, because he was very insular, very shy, and he still is that way. He's very inscrutable. I don't really know what to make of the guy. I still don't know really what to make of him. But I'll tell you one thing: he reflects his generation. You know, the Generation X,
yes,
the one that preceded the millennials. But he just knows that being an anti-hero is good for your brand, and he is, but I just don't know what to make of him. I don't know if it's a put-on, if it's natural shyness, just a little craziness, or whatever, but, you know, he's made that his trademark, just as Peyton has made his trademark the polished pro, you know, the polished media superstar. So they did it in different ways.
And I think most of America shares that assessment. You're not quite sure what to make of Eli. And talk about somebody that's had highs and lows. He's really had incredible lows, hasn't he?
Well, they both did. I mean, Peyton didn't win until, you know, what year? Eighth year or something like that? I mean, seventh year. And Eli has had so many problems with the Giants. And just being on that team, now is like a train wreck, you know. Dealing with Odell Beckham Jr. I imagine trying to deal with something like that. And but I tell you, I mean, he overcame that whole crisis last year when I think they really wanted to get rid of him, the Giants.
Yes.
And they sat him down for that game, which broke his Iron Man streak, which was really disgusting. Why would they do that, you know? But he rode that out, too. There were a lot of rumors in New York that he was going to be traded, you know, finish his career somewhere else the way Peyton had. But here he is leading them into it on the end. I tell you what, he's the type of guy who could really surprise a lot of people. He's still got a lot left in him, you know.
He could still
win that third ring. Who knows?
And we'll be watching for that this year. In the Name of the Father, Family Football and the Manning Dynasty, that's the book we're talking about. A couple minutes left in the program. You have new material in the book, and I sort of think of the Manning family as they're loyal inside the family. Friends are probably loyal to Manning as well, understanding what they have there with this sort of corporation they've got going. How difficult was it to crack that and to get good information?
Well, it's not like they try to hide anything. They're quite proud of the fact that they've done something that no other family has done, turning the family into a brand, you know.
Yes.
There have been other families like the Ryans, Buddy Ryan and his two sons, you know, but that's in the coaching end of it. Nobody's ever done this on the field where they turn the whole family dynasty into a brand. They're quite proud of it. And, you know, there's still a lot to come. They might, you know, I'm not basing it on anything inside, but I have a feeling we're going to see Peyton and Eli one day team up in ownership. I mean, they're so wealthy, right? I mean, they could buy a small country, so they
exactly.
could probably buy a team.
That, yes.
And maybe the Colts, I don't know. but I have a feeling they might be in ownership at some point as co-owners. That'll be a whole new chapter in the saga.
Well, it is.
They've got a lot of plans. We just don't know what they are yet.
Yeah, it's amazing. As the football careers wind down, you've got one left playing. Their name seems to grow. You mentioned Manning, and everybody, whether they're a sports fan or not, knows exactly who you're talking about.
Exactly. It's an amazing story, and there are a lot. I treat it almost like a novel, like a great yes. Southern novel, like a Faulkner novel. So there's so much tragedy in them, like Archie finding his father's dead body after he committed suicide. He was only 19 years old, and he had to become a man on the spot. I mean, you don't get any more dramatic than you do with the Manning family.
You mentioned Olivia at one point. Talk about her influence on the family.
Yeah, she's sort of the power behind the throne, you know. Because Archie was, he's, or like any other pro athlete, was kind of an absentee father a lot of the time, on the road with the team and, for months at a time. And it was up to her to raise her boys. And she did it at a time when, a woman's role was more subservient. But she really groomed all of them and stoked their competitiveness and, they're all Phi Beta Kappa students, as was Archie in his college days. So it's a great family, and she's really the queen of American sports. To groom that dynasty the way she did, I give her a lot of credit. She's a beautiful woman, and Archie knew he married up when he married her, and she's really been tremendous for the brand too.
It's an excellent new book, In the Name of the Father, Family Football and the Manning Dynasty. Best-selling author, biographer Mark Hrabowski has been with us on the program. Book available wherever books are sold. If you go to our website, thisweekinamerica.us, you can link on directly, get information, and purchase the book there as well. Mark, a pleasure having you on the program. Excellent job on the book. Thank you for being with us. Like I said, I got my summer reading all set. I think I'll do the Temptations coming up next and then sort of work my way through your collection of books. Thank you for being with us on the program.
Thank you. The pleasure's been all mine.
You're listening to This Week in America online, thisweekinamerica.us.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.